This is a HeadGum Original.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
In Brooklyn, New York, at the turn of the century, lived two young comedians, so Jewish and coy. Amir Blumenfeld was a half-man, half-chipmunk. Jake Hurwitz was known as the Pinch as a boy. Now these two fine men, they created a podcast. They give out advice, never missing a week. Dating and Wordle and troubles with housemates, they answer our questions with the wisdom we seek. Well, here's what I'd do if I were you, cried Hurwitz and Blumenfeld every Monday.
To hard
young podcasters after adventure, you're listening now, yes, today is the day. Now on this here show there are certain awards, a turdy of brown and a mic of pure gold. Hurwitz has hoisted near 500 gold mics. He's humbled and chuffed, and by God he is cheesed. But Sour and Hunch sitting in his dark corner, the chipmunk does nothing but protest and whine. His nasty demeanor will land him the turdy, not once and not twice, but every damn time. Well, here's what I'd do if I were you, cried Hurwitz and Blumenfeld every Monday. Two hardy young podcasters after adventure, you're listening now, yes, today is the day.
Damn. Well, there's supposed to be like 8 more verses. The original song, I believe, had 10, 11 verses.
That's so based on a song you talked about like a month ago called The Ballad of Harbo and Samuelson. I guess our last names are kind of the same as theirs, Hurwitz and Blumenfeld.
Yeah, just about. Same syllable-wise.
Yeah.
Harbo, I should change my last name to Harbo. I mean, that was incredible. That was incredible. that was just ace. That was absolutely ace. With the Jerry Bryant cover. I mean, my God, my whole entire family is going to love that.
Do you think he was doing an accent or he's an Irishman?
I think he was. I mean, Jerry Bryant, I believe, is just from like Massachusetts. So I think it's just kind of like a burl to the voice. I don't think it's much of an accent.
I thought that guy was doing an Mike Gethard or Gold.
Yeah, maybe. It's a little, yeah, I guess.
Or maybe he's Irish.
Yeah, or maybe just doing a Jerry and Bryant impression, which is very folksy like that. Adventure?
That's Matthew Kazakos. Kazakos? Kazakos. He also sent chords, so you can play this song on the axe.
That's fucking savage. I wish I weren't in the HeadGum studio. I'm so far away from my axe right now.
Yeah.
What are the chords?
I mean, so there's just a lot of classics in here.
Yeah. It's got to be like a C, G, D, G or something.
Yeah, C to A minor.
Mm. Oh, yeah, that's good. Yeah.
And then to F to G.
Okay, yeah.
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 See, and I mean, then the chorus, those are really the standard C4. Ones. Yeah,
mm-hmm. C. Oh, yeah, C4,
G7.
Nice. I know the G7. That's a great chord.
It's a really good chord.
Yeah.
Then it goes back to C.
Mm, cool. C is a great chord, too.
It's kind of weird that every song is just like 4 chords. Like, is there enough permutation of these chords that make every song ever?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. But there are more than 4. So, but you know, there's the major chords.
You'll rarely see a B.
You do see him. You like do what? See him.
Yeah, this song is B to fucking E. Like, that's not happening.
That's actually a nice chord progression. B to E.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Like, nothing like an E minor, though.
Yeah, E minor, I know, because it's just those two. Two is easy, yeah. Right. B, I don't even know what that looks like, really. Like, what's the B?
B, it almost looks like a power chord. It's the second string down on the second fret with your
the pointy. Entire thing.
No, just the second string, the second okay. string.
That's good.
And then you know from the top, and then below that on the fourth fret, you have the next two covered. So it's like those kind of those like middle three.
Right. Yeah. Fourth
fret.
B completely escapes like me. This. I never see it. I never deal with it. I never have to play it. I never play B. It's a bad chord.
It's a nice sounding chord. No, it's a nice sounding chord.
It's a bad chord. It really I think, is.
Yeah.
It's a bad chord.
Oh, I'm not recording.
Really?
Just kidding. Remember last week?
Yeah, it was awesome. I wonder how that ended up sounding. We sort of just sent the audio to Grim and he like pieced it together. I never verified.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. Well, at least now I'm in an echoey room. This room is certainly, I'm hearing the echo more and more.
Yeah. Also the Zoom, the video stopped recording on your end at a certain point too.
Yeah. We have a, you know, a professional operation that's backed by VCs.
Mm-hmm.
And we still jerry-rig our podcast every single week, cobbled together garbage trash. When we record in the LA office, it looks and sounds amazing. When we do it ourselves, we're getting worse. But we're in a transition phase right now, so it's hard.
There's a lot of variables is the problem. Like there's my internet, your TV, your computer, my computer, the recording, mm-hmm. the Zoom, recording locally, putting it all together. For everything to go perfectly right requires 10 kind of 40% chances to align.
Yeah. Did that gentleman have anything to plug?
Yeah, he had this GoFundMe situation, but as we are running out of time, let's say a quick namaste to Matthew, and
not
we're
even
on
like,
our merry way.
Do you want to mention the GoFundMe? Was it like for
something
charity,
like
medical expenses?
Yeah, charity.
Okay.
Medical charity expenses.
Medical charity expenses.
I think I archived the email.
You can unarchive it. We can even edit this part out, so you'll just...
No, leave it in. Leave it in. I feel bad.
You should feel bad. I would, if I were you, I would want this part edited out because you're sort of like sweeping a good cause under the rug. Now you're humming badly.
We huff and we puff and we blow your house down. We
with the colors of Norway floating behind.
No, he didn't have anything to promote.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right. Well, he's promoting the Ballad of Harbo and Samuelson, which again is an incredible song. Everyone should listen to it.
I'm going to ask him if that's his real accent or if he was doing a voice. If he responds during the podcast, we'll get back to you guys.
All right, cool. Love it.
We're getting a lot of emails about theme songs, so thanks for sending those in. But we need more questions, so send them everything to ifireashow@gmail.com.
That's
but
right.
Here's a few that we did get. Some really, really sexy questions, actually.
Interesting.
Yeah. I should say this is If I Were You, the only advice podcast on the internet hosted by us. I'm Amir.
I'm Josh.
Okay. How bad of a guy am I? So this guy is wondering how bad of a guy he is.
Okay.
Let's see if we can answer his question.
All right, cool.
We'll call him, who's a bad guy? Billy. We'll call him Billy Eilish, but it's like a guy named Billy Eilish.
Interesting. Why is Billy Eilish a bad guy?
Because she has a song called I'm a Bad Guy. Duh.
I didn't know that.
Do, do, cool. do, 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 do. Yeah, great. It's a really popular song. Okay, here we go. Cool. First time listener, 26-year-old male in a relationship with a 26-year-old girlfriend. We started fighting regularly. It seemed like in every fight, there were multiple miscommunications with us having very different ideas of what happened. She would say, I said something I would frequently think I didn't say. It felt like gaslighting. and it was making me crazy. With all this fighting and miscommunication, I brought up the idea of recording our fights so that we could listen back to them and recognize the problems we were having to fix them. She didn't like the idea. I asked her why, and she didn't have a reason. She just didn't want to do it. A few weeks later, we were having a particularly bad fight where we were talking about breaking up, and I thought, fuck it. I'll record this one without telling her.
Oh.
I didn't tell her about recording the fight and ended up recording a few other fights over the next couple months. See, the floodgates were kind of open on the fight recording thing. Then last week, we were fighting and she brought up the things that I say and she'll call me out for saying them and I'll say, I didn't even say that. Then I said, I've recorded some of our fights and there are multiple instances of you saying I said something that I didn't say. This, as you could guess, did not go over well. She was super pissed. In my head, what I did is not actually that bad. It's obviously not cool to go behind your partner's back and do something they are not comfortable with you doing. But she insists that there was something else that makes it very bad and won't tell me what. If I ever had told her, it would have had no effect on her. I was just trying to recognize mistakes I was making in fights. Am I crazy? Did I do something that bad? Or is my girlfriend gaslighting me again? There's that word. People like saying gaslighting a lot.
Yeah. It's a very good phrase. I feel like it conveys almost exactly what it is.
Which is somebody accusing you of something that you didn't do.
Well, it's just somebody that is intentionally or not riling you up. Like,
is it usually intentional or usually not?
I think that there's probably differing degrees. I don't think it's like outright intentional where it's like, I'm going to fucking gaslight this person. But I think that like, it's just a communication style that a lot of people have that is like unhealthy. And like, I think that like not addressing it is almost at this point akin to doing it on purpose.
So in this version, it's like, how can you say that you don't think that? And he's like, I never said that. You're gaslighting me, basically trying to convince me that I said something that I didn't say.
Yeah, it's essentially like drawing him into a fight that he doesn't want to be in and didn't deserve to be in necessarily.
And so he said, why don't I get a fucking court stenographer to read back exactly what I said to you?
Yeah, which I mean, I think that idea on its own has some merit. I do feel like recording a argument actually makes it a little more civil, because once you know you're being recorded, you'll probably just behave a little bit differently.
Yeah.
That said, she did not know she was being recorded. So
and
I think
that's
that, like,
the crux of the short, the bad part of the deal.
Right. You knew the recording was happening and it probably made you fight differently. It's almost like you baited her into having a different type of fight. Like, I think the playing field wasn't exactly level, because people are a little, they'll probably, you know, measure their words differently when they're on the record.
That's
and she
right.
didn't know she was on the record. She thought it was off the record. So that's one of the things. The other one is that you brought it up, she said no, and then you violated her trust, which is a big deal.
That's another big no-no.
Yeah, it's a no-no. The third thing I'll say, even though you didn't ask, is just that it sounds like you guys should break up.
Because of the constant fighting, the recording, the backstabbing.
I think the relationship is broken. I think that's okay. I think
it's run its course.
You gave it a shot. Why not just call it quits? Because you're not happy, she's not happy. You know, read your email back. Doesn't sound like it's a good thing.
26 years old is a classic breakup age, too. You're going to want to break up at 26. And you're both 26.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think 26 is the time when you sort of start to think like, oh, I want to be an adult. Like, I want my relationship to work. I'm old enough that these are supposed to be real, lasting relationships. This could end in marriage. So you maybe have like a little more hesitance around walking away, hanging it up. You don't want to start over. But yeah, I would say... there is life after 20. There's life for relationship after 26.
That's right. So you can apologize during the breakup. You can be like, you know what? This is so fucked up. I'm sorry. What are we doing?
Yeah.
I'm going to record this just so you can play it to yourself later, but I think we should not be together. And then you click unrecord, and then you can play it over and over.
That's cool.
So you're sort of trolling slash instigating a new fight, but it's okay because you're burning a bridge on the way out.
Yeah, that's an interesting way to go out, to fully burn a bridge.
Yeah, and in fact, we record this stuff over Zoom, so you could almost do it over Zoom. You know, there's a recording in progress, so she hears it, she knows it.
Right, she has to click a button that says, got it, which is nice.
That's oh, really? Is that how it works on your end?
Yeah, it says recording in progress, and then there's like a little button that I either can deny or say, got it. Or like, I can like leave or say that it's fine.
That's good. That way she's for sure on the same page about it being recorded. This whole thing reminded me of, I just watched the Ryan Murphy show about the impeachment, the Monica Lewinsky, Bill Clinton scandal. Did you watch that
one? Did you like it? I watched the pilot and I was like, oh, fuck this. I can't. It was too boring.
I really liked it. I like those shows. Yeah. The OJ show, the Versace show.
I love
show.
The OJ one. Yeah. I love the OJ one.
The Lewinsky one. It was all good to me.
Right. Like the very, very dramatized.
Yes, of course.
I think it was
something I vaguely knew about but didn't know all the details of. That's my sweet spot.
Right. I guess I probably should like it more, but I didn't.
Yeah. Give it another try. Let's take a break. Why don't you watch the other 9 episodes and let me know what you think.
Really?
I'd have to go home. Yeah, go home and watch the 9 episodes. I think we could talk about it in the second act.
All right. I'm interested.
All right, let's take a break. Thanks some sponsors. Come back and answer more questions on the other side of these messages.
You got it.
Thank you to BetterHelp for sponsoring this episode of our show.
Oh, yeah, baby.
It can be easy to ignore your social battery and spread yourself thin, but that's not helping anybody.
Right on. It is not.
If you're feeling depressed or anxious about the state of the world or some sort of interpersonal relationship you're having with family, friends, loved ones, your job potentially.
Mm. Oh, yeah, that's true.
The best way to help yourself out of life's difficult situations is to talk to a professionally licensed therapist. And the best way to find a therapist is with BetterHelp.
Exactly. Right.
Finding a therapist used to be so difficult. You used to like have to ask a friend of a friend, drive to a waiting room, give it a shot, see how it goes. But with BetterHelp, you just fill out a brief questionnaire, you get matched with a licensed therapist right away, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge.
Perfect.
And you know the whole thing's online too.
Oh yeah. So you don't have to drive somewhere. You don't have to sit anywhere. You can just log on from your house. You can even text your therapist, which is very nice.
That's cool. So find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Just visit betterhelp.com/segments today to get 10% off your first month. Therapists can be very expensive. With BetterHelp, they're affordable. And if you go to BetterHelp, help.com/segments, you'll even get an extra 10% off their already more affordable price for your first month.
You'll love to hear it.
So treat your mental health seriously. Take advantage of this great offer. That's BetterHelp, help.com/segments.
Segments.
Thank you, BetterHelp. This HeadGum Podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers, aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt.
Mm-hmm.
So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura. And we're back. I don't know if you actually went and watched 9 episodes of American Crime Story Impeachment.
No. Yeah, I mean, I did.
You that's know. What makes you sort of a Linda Tripp. Like, you are really? Quietly and secretly recording conversations with me, a Lewinsky type.
I see. Because who did you have oral sex with at the company?
How was your first day? You know?
Yeah. Wait, who plays Bill Clinton in that?
Oh, great question. Clive Owen, and he's great.
Oh, wow. That's good.
He does a very good Clinton. He just doesn't get too rattled, even though the world... You think you're stressed out. Imagine, like, you built your entire life up, and now your marriage is crumbling in a public fashion as the Republicans are out to get you. Ken Starr and Colin Hanks.
Colin Hanks? Oh, wow. Yeah. What a cast.
It's a great cast. I highly recommend it. That's my unsolicited advice. But you said you had a funny story instead.
Oh, yeah. I do have a story. So this morning, I joined the gym across the street from the office, right?
Baller.
And I signed up for a fitness class, something I don't usually do. But I like the Peloton workouts. I do like a guided workout every once in a while.
Yeah.
So I said, you know, I had a long weekend. I was like, I'm going to kick my butt on Monday.
Long weekend, you mean like no exercise and indulging in food, or just sort of like a... relaxing one.
A little bit. No, not that one. I exercised. I had a beautiful day of exercise on Saturday, but then I did go out and get absolutely smashed on Saturday night.
Whoa.
And I was hungover on Sunday, so I did have to have a bacon, egg, and cheese, and I did have to have a steak, a cheesesteak for dinner.
Okay.
Because it was kind of the only way I could feel normal.
Right.
So then I decided I'm going to exercise today. I signed up for a class called Cardio Sculpt.
Oh, that sounds very difficult.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, this is like some kind of high intensity type thing.
Oh, no. Yeah, that's hard.
I got there. The class was around 20 to 30 people. The only other man in there was the instructor.
Okay. And what time was this?
This is at 8 this
early.
Morning.
Pretty early.
Pretty early. I mean, I had to get up at like 7. I'm on the subway at 7:30 in my class.
Is it kind of cold out?
It's beautiful out. Okay. Everything's been great so far. I get to the class in time. I'm excited, but then I see it's all women, and I'm like, I wonder if this class is like, am I weird for being here?
Right.
Then the music starts, and everyone kind of starts dancing, and they all know style.
They all know
the steps. They sure do. It's like you're hopping on your left foot while also taking like a light weight and like doing presses. But then like you turn and you spin and you punch, and it's like fucking fully choreographed.
Yeah.
And the instructor just keeps on yelling at me, "Come on, sir!"
and he doesn't have to say your name because you're the only sir.
I'm the only sir there, and he was encouraging me, but I was doing so badly that more than once during the class, I just like stood there laughing at myself because it was so fucking insanely dumb that I was there.
Did you consider just leaving?
Yes, very briefly. And I was like, it's going to be worse if I leave, I think. So I'm like, I'm going to suffer through. I'm going to try to learn it. But like the entire class, like there's just a mirror that runs the whole length of the class. So you're watching yourself in the mirror, and like me so flat-footed and dumb next to 30 in sync ballerinas dancing with weights. It was so funny. There's like fucking spin moves. And I don't know. It was like, I basically couldn't do anything.
You basically crashed a dance class intermediate level as a complete beginner.
Yeah.
They should have warned you, right?
Yeah. It should have said dance because it just said cardio. And I'm like, oh, I can
cardio
do burpees.
Sculpt.
Yeah. Yeah. But no, it was just a true Zumba. And
how is the actual level of like cardio or like, were you able to keep up? Was it hard on that level?
It was hard. I mean, like the moves that I could do, for instance, were like jumping jacks with 7.5 pound weights in my hands.
Wow.
So it's like, and then like you jump, you split, and your arms are going like out, up, you know, those are the moves that I could do. It's kind of like the reverse lunge with the curl.
Yeah.
squat pulses. But it was all of the like kind of like dancing side to side, which was about half the class. That I just had to like find my own way during. And then, everyone was spinning and I just didn't spin.
At the end of the class, did you just like walk out and give everyone a nod? Like, sorry about that. Obviously, this won't happen again.
Yeah, I didn't. I made a point to not stand up and put my weights back until everyone had kind of emptied out. I stretched on the mat for a while. So it was only me and about five other women when it was over.
That's good. Yeah. So
yeah. So I'll never take that class again for sure. Because I think I got an only okay workout. The parts that I could do were very hard. So I'm sure it was a very hard workout. But since I couldn't do all of the, like, it's hard to basically hop on one foot and with your other foot, you're doing like a high kick at the same time as like pointing over here. It was like, so, and then, yeah, so I was like, either I couldn't do anything or I was like about to pull my back if I just like started flailing my arms around with the weights.
Did it turn you off to classes in general? You're like, all right, I'll try another one next.
No, I like classes. I'll just never, ever do one that I don't think I'll try a new one anytime soon, or maybe I'll do a little more research.
And did you work out after that? Or was that like, all right, that's a good, call that a Monday.
I hit the steam room after that, but it's not called a Monday yet. I'm going to go climbing this afternoon. So
oh, wow. Two-a-days.
I'll get a two-a-day. My new workout regimen is, I've been calling it the 3x3x3x5. That's
3x3x3x5.
Yeah. So in a given week, in 7 days, I'm lifting 3 times. Uh-huh. I'm doing cardio 3 times. I'm climbing 3 times.
Wow.
I'm doing ab exercises 5 times.
Ab exercises like sit-ups or like a full 45-minute separate thing from the other?
No, that just like sit-ups, like an 8-minute abs tagged into every one of those days, basically.
Wow. Wow, that's a lot. Because rock climbing is already kind of a weight workout.
Yeah. So I usually climb on the days that I do a cardio. So if I do a bike ride in the morning, I'll climb in the afternoon, or run in the morning or climb in the afternoon, you know?
That's a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a lot, but summer's coming.
Oh, I see. You got to have beach-ready bodies by then.
Yeah, that's the ideal. Oh, yeah, I'm also surfing. I went surfing on Friday. Did I tell you that?
No. That hurt your ribs, didn't it?
Yeah, the first time it did hurt my ribs. This time I waited until they felt mostly better, and I was a little worried that I was just going to immediately re-aggravate it, but I didn't. It felt fine.
Wait, you took a surfing class?
Yeah, another one on Friday, this past Friday.
In Long Island?
Yeah, Rockaway.
Same people as last time, or this is a new situation?
Rockaway is actually Queens. No, I was, our friend Amanda and my friend Leah, I've been going with, but they couldn't go this past week, and I didn't know when we were going to be able to go again, because I'm about to travel, so I just went by myself.
Wow, and how was it the third time, fourth time?
It was better and worse at the same time. This is my fourth time, so the waves... The third time I went, the waves were like scary big. They were like 6 feet, and it was like a little bit too big. The instructor was a little afraid for us.
Yeah.
And I basically stood up like once or twice, but I got kind of wrecked.
Like when the wave finally crashes, it hurt you.
Yeah. It was more about like, I would essentially fall off just about every wave because they were so big and scary. Mm-hmm. And then getting back out was just like a real endeavor because they're crashing all over you.
Right. And it's kind of cold out, right? Aren't you going in the morning, East Coast style?
Yeah. It was this time when I went, it was pretty warm. It was like 50 degrees. The water was like in the 50s, and you wear a thick wetsuit. So I was like hot this time. I couldn't feel it. Last time I was a little cold. Like at one point, a wave just hit me in the face and the water went down the back of my wetsuit. And I was like, oh, it is insanely cold.
Right.
It's insanely cold. But this time it felt really good. And the waves were a little smaller. They were like 3 feet. So I was able to stand up again. But I'm doing the, you know how when we surfed, we got the push? Uh-huh. The push really goes a long way.
Yeah, that's when the instructor literally shoves your board because you're a little child and you can't quite get the forward momentum yourself.
Yeah. The first time we surfed was in Mexico, and they didn't even let me look back. They would just tell me to paddle, and then they would push the board and then yell stand. So it was, I was surfing, but I wasn't learning to surf, really.
It was turnkey.
And then in the Rockaways, the guy was still pushing me, but he was kind of telling me, you know, to look back and like try to judge a wave. Yeah. And then this last time, I was paddling for my own waves.
Wow.
Which essentially just meant that I missed every single one.
Because you couldn't time it right. Because there wasn't a guy yelling at you, push, 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 and literally pushing your board.
Yeah, exactly. So I would, he'd be like, paddle, paddle, paddle. I'm paddling as hard as I fucking can. My arms are about to fall off. I feel the wave coming, paddle, 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 paddling so hard. It feels like I'm maxing out in the shoulder press. And then the wave just passes.
Passes you by.
Yeah. And then I try to stand, but I'm just standing in,
after the wave.
Bath so water. Late. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's over.
So were you able to time it right? Where you, do you have to just start earlier?
I think I need to place my board in a better place and maybe try to be a little more selective about which waves I'm going for.
Yeah.
Cause like I'm paddling for some that are going to break too late for me to actually be able to like stand up on them. So,
but at least it's a workout. At the very least, yeah, getting exercise.
It's definitely a workout. And I stood up a few times, so it's really fun. And I fucking love it.
Didn't you also go paintballing recently for the first time?
Yeah. Wait, did I tell you about the paintballing?
Oh, you're just trying all these unique exercise experiences recently.
Well, the surfing is like a real hobby that I want to, you know, what's the word? Absorb into my life. I want to work that one in. Uh-huh. Paintballing was for my brother-in-law's bachelor party. And that one was like,
would you say it didn't take as much as the surfing did?
I definitely had more fun than I thought I was going to.
Oh, that's good.
When I was going, I was like, I'm a little afraid and I don't think I'm going to have that much fun. And then when I was there, I was like, probably a little more afraid because the balls definitely hurt.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, this was 3 weeks ago and I still have a welt on my inner thigh from one of those things.
Right.
I think I would totally go again. And they were like, oh, just wear clothes you don't really care about. It's like, no, but we saw people that when we got there that took it seriously and they're wearing tactical gear and pads and stuff. It's like, I was wearing an old sweatshirt and
wait, they don't
jeans.
Put you in fatigues? Don't they like dress you up?
No, you can buy that stuff if you want. So I bought a pair of gloves because I didn't have one. And I did get hit in the fucking knuckle and it hurt like hell.
Doesn't it seem like this would not be legal? Like it would hurt too much to actually do. Like this is part of the game being this hurt. It's not like something went wrong and you were bleeding.
Totally. And what they give you the mask and that's it. So it's
that's important.
But there's a lot of blind. But there's still a lot of exposure. Like the back of your head is exposed.
Your neck.
In the mask. It's not a helmet. Yeah, your neck, your ear. Your ear is exposed? I hit somebody in the fucking neck. Maybe not your ear. No, not your ear. But like the back
the neck.
Part of it. Yeah.
What about like your Adam's apple? You can just get fucking welted there?
Yeah, exposed. Absolutely exposed.
Can you die? Like if someone hits you point blank in the Adam's apple with a paintball?
It seems kind of like it because those things fly. They're so hard and they don't always break. I got hit by one like three times and it just didn't break. And I would I thought I was out. I'm like, oh, great. I have to leave. But I'm just like looking and it didn't break. I'm like, well, fuck. Now I'm still here.
Did you, were you like laughing when you got hit or were you like, ah, that like really fucking hurt?
Probably the second one. I mean, I like smiled because I'm like, this is insane. But it hurt a lot.
Yeah.
And, but it was cool because like when you, it really does feel like fight or flight.
Yeah.
Like it's probably the longest stretch of time in a while that I was just doing something that all I thought about was that immediate moment of like, don't get shot. Where are they? Where is the paint coming from? How do I survive?
You couldn't be on your phone during it.
No, you couldn't check out at all. So we did like probably 10 or 15 games in total.
Wow.
It's like two sides and there's different like kinds of barriers. And you're just trying to shoot everyone in that team. It's almost like dodgeball, get everybody out. And then we changed courses a few times. One time we played a fun game called President where my brother-in-law, he was the president. He had no gun and their job was to just bring him over into like the back of our line without him getting shot.
That's
cool. So, and
they were trying to assassinate
him. And then we also played one cause Dan, my sister's fiance, is kind of insane, and he had the like paintball instructor make a video of him with no gun, just sprinting around and everyone shooting him Jackass style. He got absolutely topless. Smoked. Yeah. But then the last thing, I'll tell this one quick, but you would like this. We did a free for all, last man standing melee battle royale. And it was just like absolute mayhem. All of us all over this, like, this field that looked kind of like a destroyed city. It had like three dilapidated cars and some like weird tree houses and buildings and stuff.
Yeah.
fully felt like you're in Call of Duty, and it was every man for himself. Everyone out there was trying to kill you, and I won.
Wow, you won. Yeah, How many people did you kill?
12.
And then what was it like when it was down to the last two? You were just running around trying to shoot the other person while they tried to shoot you?
Yeah, it was great, because like I knew where this guy was, and I basically left my fort, my little hiding spot, without him. I was shooting at him a bunch, kind of like making him take cover and not know where I was. And then when I found my new cover, he was still shooting at my old spot. And then I sort of opened up fire on him from a new location. He was exposed. He had to run out, and I hit him while he was running. Yeah. It was like a fun strategy.
You said, hold on. I have to go to the bathroom. This part doesn't count. Do not touch me. And then you opened fire on him. You said, shit, I'm out. I think I tore my fucking Achilles. Don't shoot me.
And then when he went took to his mask you. Off to help me, shot him in the nose.
Oh! Another lonely and horny episode. Ah, I fucking tore my ACL. Help, help. Everybody's comes over to help you. 20 minutes later, the vibe has clearly changed. That's when you open fire on people.
That's right.
All right. Well, there you have it. So there's paintball, there's a Zumba class, and surfing. I mean, you're getting it from all sides here.
Yeah, that's right. Summer's coming. You have to be active.
Okay, let's take another break. Thanks from Spons. Come back on the other side of this. Messages.
Yeah.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
All right, we're back. Let's try to answer some questions.
Yeah, about time.
Enough of your active routine. We have to figure out if this person should try to get his fiance's sister pregnant.
What?
Yeah. So this guy, we'll call him Frankie, the finance fiance, says, my fiance's sister and her husband have been trying to have a baby for a year and a half with no luck. The next step is to try IVF, but they're very scared about the process. But here's the thing. I think I could get the job done.
Oh my
See,
God.
The husband is a shrimpy little fellow who just doesn't strike me as virile. Something about this overall vibe just screams, I don't know how to pass my genes on biologically, let alone if they are even worth passing on at all. I just feel so bad for my fiance's sister. She wants a kid so badly, and it's not going to be able to help. So should I offer my services to her? Should I run it by my fiance first so she can help me broach the topic with her sister? I'm sure the husband will be grateful. I'm very handsome. Thanks for the advice.
Wait, he's offering to fuck his fiance's sister?
Or they can just use the sperm. I mean, we'll figure out the details later. The real question is right now.
Is it the, well, that's what I'm curious about. Is it the sperm? Like, can he just be a sperm donor or do they have to have sex?
Let's say it's the sex.
Is that, thing. Is it, if it's IVF, I guess I don't understand how IVF works.
Yeah, IVF, like, I think they take the semen and the eggs and they put it together in a lab somewhere.
Right. So in theory, he's going to do IVF with his own sperm or have sex with her. But if they're afraid about IVF, it feels like he's just offering to fuck her.
Either one, I'm kind of intrigued about how to broach the topic.
I wouldn't. I don't think I would.
You would be
I
like,
I don't think I would.
Good luck and good night.
Yeah.
I mean, you want to at least say, by the way, if you guys would be down, like, this is not anything I would be against.
Right. Well, then I guess you should wait until, like, there's a family dinner where everyone's kind of all present, like Easter. Easter just passed. What's the next one? 4th of July, but it should be a religious one.
It should be Memorial Day.
Rosh Chodesh. Oh, yeah. Memorial Day is not bad.
Or the end of Pesach. Yeah. Passover.
Yom Kippur.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you guys are at a dinner table, maybe eating lasagna. Things are tense.
Right. And ideally you interrupt. Unrelated, but I could fucking get you pregnant, I bet. Yeah. Just because he looks kind of like he can't pass his jeans on. So I'll take my jeans off.
Pass the lasagna?
I'm joking.
Sorry, I have a really small throat. I was born with a narrow opening. And I still got this far.
It's the only thing that's narrow.
Oh, God. I'm shitting myself. I have like, I think I have like some sort of like ulcerative colitis or some shit. Oh my God.
Thank God I'm so freaking good socially. Otherwise I wouldn't get by.
Yeah, I don't think this is something you can bring up. Unfortunately. You're very, I don't even want to say polite to offer, but it's, I guess, nice.
It's sort of nice, but I guess your intentions seem a little dubious.
Yeah.
Do they not?
Yeah. I mean,
especially
time,
if it's about actual sex.
A lot of people wouldn't do this. They wouldn't be like, I don't want to give my genes to a child that I wouldn't be able to raise.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think you also, that's interesting. It's true. I don't know if you've thought through that hard.
If a friend of yours came to you and said, can we borrow your sperm for our child? Would you be like, no, I kind of want to save it for my children. Or would you be like, yeah, it doesn't matter. What do I care?
Probably depend on the friend.
Let's say it was, I don't know, Amanda, who you went surfing with.
Oh, yeah. I would definitely do that.
You'd give her.
Yeah.
No moral qualms about having a child out there that's not necessarily yours.
No. And I think that would be nice because it'd make me closer with Amanda and I'd probably be close to her child. That'd be cool.
Yeah. You'd be a half uncle of sorts.
Yeah. But if it was someone I didn't think would be a good parent, if you asked me, I would be like, I think
I could do
it. I want to put my bloodline in
on
your
the line.
Incapable. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly right.
I wonder if like something tragic happened and the child was killed, would I feel guilty? Like, ooh, sorry about that. I know you sort of went on a limb for me. left the old thing in the ocean. Awkward. Let's do one more now that I know what the rules are.
I would think we would all be sad, but definitely the way you're behaving now is a good reason for why
I would go like this. So this
like
is gonna
I
sound,
Love Lucy sketch.
Yeah. This is gonna sound random slash sad,
but you know how I went to the beach with your blood, your flesh,
my child,
blood?
Your
just this, one and the same. And now do you notice how it's just me here?
So
guess what happened.
That awkward moment when the swell took my childish slash yours out to sea and gave him a low-key Viking funeral.
I haven't been back to the beach in a minute, but he might have washed up totally fine. I wouldn't put it past the dude.
He's a Hurwitz through it's and
after
through.
After all. You're a fish, you know that.
This is for our fifth episode of Stuck, where
we're
stuck emotionally good. In this case.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have to write that, by the way.
I think I would be okay with that too, because it's like all the kind of curiosity of having a child without necessarily any of the responsibility. So it's like, oh, now I could see what my bloodline would look like. But at the same time, I don't have to wake up in the middle of the night to handle the feedings and the trials and tribulations of raising a child.
It's like your neighbor getting a puppy. You're like, oh, great.
Or roommate.
I can, like, play. Yeah, I could play with this dog, but it won't really interfere with my life.
I think I can say with great certainty that donating your seed / sperm is literally the equivalent of a roommate getting a cat. Like, there's... zero difference on a grand cosmic, like,
I don't know,
zoomed out scale.
I guess if you zoom far enough out where nothing really matters,
like zoom lives all the way out, we're like, we're a pebble,
we're all dust
on a fucking
right
grand
in
cosmic
that sense,
map that will
yes, it nothing
completely
matters.
Disappear one day,
right? Totally. Yeah. All of our heroes mean nothing.
Yes, exactly. Blink of an eye on the cosmic timeline.
I do think no matter how you bring it up, if people start saying that they want to donate cum instead of sperm or semen, it's extra funny. It's like,
you don't
I went to a
cum
bank.
You can't give it. Then you've disqualified yourself.
I wanted to give the gift of my cum to people that can't have children of their own.
Sounds worse.
Yeah, definitely.
At you that
sprung
point,
from my cum.
The sperm bank has to give you the DQ. I think they can't accept it at that
right.
point.
Well, I mean, they might hear the whole you lost your kid in the ocean type
the joke. That was a goof. That was a bit. Locker room talk.
Locker room talk. God,
what did it actually mean to that? Do you know anybody that's actually donated sperm for money? It's a very funny way of like raising cash, but I don't know anyone that's ever actually done it.
No, I don't think I also don't. How much cash do you even get for it?
I don't think very much. Can't be very much, right?
It must just be about like the story.
Yeah. The joy of getting $70 to masturbate in an office.
Yeah.
Usually you get in trouble for that kind of shit.
I know I did. Yeah.
All right. Thanks for writing in those really thoughtful questions, whether they be about whether or not you should impregnate your fiance's sister or anything else in the world that seems to be ailing you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right.
We open this episode with an amazing theme song submission. So keep those theme song submissions and questions coming. If I Were You Show at gmail.com for all of it. And of course, these are being recorded as video episodes that you can watch on your our YouTube channel. And there's more of us goofing around watching Jake and Amir videos on our Patreon, patreon.com/JA.
Ja.
Of course, we'll be back next week, as always, forever and ever.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening, everybody. Let's end with that classic Harbo and Samuelson song again.
Hell yeah. Thank you. Can't hear it. There it is.
In Brooklyn, New York, at the turn of the century, lived two young comedians, so Jewish and coy. Amir Blumenfeld was a half-man, half-chipmunk. Jake Hurwitz was known as the Pinch as a boy. Now these two fine men, they created a podcast. They give out advice, never missing a week. dating and Wordle and troubles with housemates. They answer our questions with the wisdom we seek. Well, here's what I'd do if I were you, cried Hurwitz and Blumenfeld every Monday. Two hardy young podcasters after adventure. You're listening now, yesterday is the day. Now on this here show there are certain awards, a turdy of brown and a mic of pure gold. Hurwitz has hoisted near 500 gold mics. He's humbled and chuffed, and by God he is cheesed. But Sour and Hunch sitting in his dark corner, the chipmunk does nothing but protest and whine. His nasty demeanor will land him the turdy, not once and not twice, but every damn time. Well, here's what I'd do if I were you, cried Hurwitz and Blumenfeld every Monday. Two hardy young podcasters after adventure. You're listening now, yesterday is the day.
That was a HeadGum Original.
Hey there, podcast listener. Good news, we're doing another HeadGum Happy Hour in New York City.
Whoa, that's amazing news. Amir, why don't you tell the folks when and where it is?
Okay, fine. It's Tuesday, May 7th at 7:30 p.m. at the Bell House.
Okay, and why don't you tell everybody who the fucking hosts are?
Yeah, that would be us. It would be, we're hosting it. It's Jake and Amir.
Okay, and how about this, you little piece of shit? Why don't you tell everybody who is going to be performing? Who is this show featuring?
All right, I don't appreciate being called that, but it is featuring Charlie Bardet, Natalie Rotter-Lateman of Exploration
Live. And why don't you tell them, why don't you tell them who else it's featuring?
Yeah, Millie Tamaras and Elise Morales of the Go Touch Grass podcast, and
some surprise guests as well.
More, yes.
And Mir, why don't you go ahead and close this out now? You say something like, thanks for listening, we'll see you at the show, or something like that. Why don't you go ahead and do that?
I will.
Can you do that?
So go buy a ticket at headgum.com/live, and we'll see you there.
All right, bye.